Thank you. Thank you very much, Gisela. Good morning, good evening, everyone. For those who were in Seoul, I hope you had a nice trip back home. For me, it was very long, but quite good and safe. So luckily, I'm back at home. I sent you an agenda for our call today. We had a very intense exchange of emails yesterday, and I would like to talk about that in our last item of the agenda, number 6. And I would start by number 1, which is, Rob, do we have something new from the board or some activity that you want to share with us? If we have something, or we can skip this point.
Sorry to interrupt, Olga. Would you like a quick roll call?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry to disturb everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Okay.
A quick roll call on today's call. We have Olga Cavalli, Rafik Damak, Chuck Gomes, Claudio Di Gangi, Tony Harris, Krista Papak from staff. We have Rob Hogarth and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Zahid Jamil, Victoria McKevsey, Julie Headland. And if I could just please remind everyone to state their names when speaking. Thank you very much. Over to you, Olga.
Thank you, Gisela, and my apologies for forgetting the... Is someone joining? No. Okay, I was asking Rob if you have something new to share from the board or from some other policy activities.
Yes, thank you, Olga. There was some activity at the board level at their board meeting on Friday of Soul Week, a relatively brief item that the board handled on its consent agenda that acknowledged that the reconfirmation of existing constituencies was still an item that the board had to resolve. If it would be useful, I can read the resolution into your minutes for the benefit of those folks who didn't attend. And what I'll do is also send around a link to the working group members. The item was section 1.3 of the board's agenda called Approval of Updates to Existing GNSO Constituency Charters. And the resolution reads, the board directs the staff and the community to continue their collaborative efforts to substantially improve the existing GNSO constituency charters to reflect the GNSO improvements adopted by the board and to seek board reconfirmation of the existing GNSO constituencies by the Nairobi ICANN meeting. The board otherwise extends the time period for constituencies to update their charter documents as described in the bylaws transition article 20, section 5.3, and asks the staff to coordinate those efforts as soon as practicable. Some of you may recall that when the GNSO Council approved its transition plan to seating the new council, there was an expectation that the existing constituencies would do the bare minimum update to their charter documents to reflect the new stakeholder group structures. That was done by a couple of the constituencies. A couple of them were not able to complete that work, so the board gave us some flexibility to give those groups some additional time to complete that work. The important substantive piece of the resolution for purposes of this work team is that the board acknowledges that the reconfirmations have not yet been completed and that the board is still going to be substantively reviewing the existing charters and any updates that have either been done or will be done by the constituencies going forward. That was partly as a result of some dialogue with the staff where we identified the work of this work team, the fact that you guys were continuing your efforts to establish some general playing field levelers in terms of expectations for constituencies and stakeholder groups. So the board is aware of your efforts, and they're setting a timetable for the Nairobi meeting for a lot of this work to take place at the constituency level. And so, essentially that takes, I think, some of the immediate time pressures off this group, but also acknowledges the important work that you're doing, and I hope that you'll all take note of the fact that the input that you provide that's ultimately reviewed by the council and goes up the chain of command here will certainly have an impact on revisions to the charter documents and to the reconfirmation process in addition to the other work that you're doing. I'm happy to take any questions on that.
Thank you, Robert. Let me clarify the timetable. So this revision to the charters of the constituency and stakeholder groups could go on until Nairobi? Is that the deadline for that?
Yeah, the civic language says the charters should be improved or updated, and the key here is to seek board reconfirmation of the existing GNSO constituencies by the Nairobi ICANN meeting. So I think, and I have not personally gone through and put together a timetable yet, but sort of working back, I would think that, you know, the constituencies would have some useful if they could have some useful guidance by the January timeframe, that would probably work to everybody's benefit. Obviously, earlier than that would be better in terms of specific input and feedback. You know, that's the work product of this team. And just a self-edit, I can say, when I set up the chain of command, that was a colloquialism, not an expectation of how this is working.
Okay. So in terms of our work, we could perhaps think about January being a good time for sending recommendations and outcomes to the GNSO and to the board. Is that time could fit in their needs?
Yeah, and that's something where I think the benefit of having you and Chuck in on these calls would be useful in terms of, you know, agenda setting as the new council goes forward, you know, trying to work through time frames with expectations of longer agenda announcements and things like that. Since the council is keeping the three-week interval between meetings, I would think that you'd have, you know, several opportunities between certainly now and the end of the year pass things on to the steering committee and then on to the council. But you guys will have a better sense, I think, in the coming weeks as to how the council is going to be operating.
Thank you very much, Rob. Any questions to Rob?
Chuck.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Rob, I think it'd be helpful if you clarified what constituencies still have to have their charters revised and approved.
Robert?
Did we lose Rob?
Robert? We lost him.
His line disconnected, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Okay.
Olga, this is SS. I have just joined about a minute ago.
SS, good evening. How are you? Welcome.
Oh, thanks.
Well, what I'm getting at while we're waiting for Rob to call back in is that I don't think that all constituents, I think some constituency charters have been approved, if I'm not mistaken, but it'd be helpful for us to know which ones are still waiting to be revised and approved. Is that Rob?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt this, Tony. I have a comment on that when you finish.
Oh, okay. Just the last thing I was going to say, Tony, and then I'll turn it to you. Regardless of whether any charters have already been approved, any recommendations that we make and that the council passes on and the board approves will ultimately be reflected in additional revisions to the charters. At the same time, I agree that if we get some of our recommendations in before some of the charters are finalized, that could facilitate the process and maybe minimize the changes that are needed later on.
Thank you, Chuck. Tony?
I just wanted to say, and responding to Chuck's asking about which constituencies would still be pending approval, that we are about to resubmit our charter to the board.
Thanks, Tony.
Where, in other words, we have not gone through that process. We have not completed that process yet.
Thanks.
That's the ISP constituency.
Thank you, Tony. Rob, you're back.
Yeah, my apologies. Just sitting here at my desk. I don't have to be off in far-flung part of the globe.
Rob, did you hear my question? This is Chuck.
I did not, but hearing Tony's answer, I can imagine you asked who has submitted and who has not.
Hey, correct. Well, which it was a little different than that. Which constituencies still do not have approved charters? In other words, are still being worked?
Well, technically, they are all still approved. Remember, the reconfirmation process was a system set up by the board where they said, gee, if we're going to be accepting new constituencies, we should certainly review the existing constituency charters. With the creation of the stakeholder group and the registry constituency and registrar constituency morphing into stakeholder groups and the board approving those charters, those are sort of off the table at the moment. That leaves the remaining non-contract part of house constituencies subject to the reconfirmation process. The NCUC and the IPC submitted their changes, but because of various workload and other issues, the ISPCP and commercial and business users constituencies were not able to submit their documents before the October, quote-unquote, deadline established in the transitional bylaw section. So the board acknowledged that and said, okay, let's give them some more time. They didn't commit to a specific time frame, but based upon feedback I got from Philip and Tony Holmes, they figured it would only be a matter of 2 or 3 weeks after Seoul to get that work done. Once those come in, we'll go through the review process. But again, these were only supposed to be very bare minimums to basically make some changes to acknowledge and reflect the fact that they're now, you know, providing executive committee members to their stakeholder groups and things like that. So there weren't supposed to be some real substantive changes, although I have been advised by the BC that they are working on some broader changes to their charter documents. All those changes that are submitted up and before the reconfirmation would undoubtedly be reviewed by the board. That was probably a much more long-winded answer than you expected.
No, that's helpful. Thanks.
Rob, I have a question. What if a charter of a constituency or a stakeholder group is already approved by the board and we then submit our recommendation? Should be changes made, if necessary, to these charters? Is this the process to be followed?
That's correct, Olga. If the work team comes up with recommendations that the steering committee and the council then sign off on, the recommendation and expectation to the board would then be that these would then be features of all the existing constituency and stakeholder group charters. They would then need to go through another round of reviews and updates. I think the hope that the board has in setting that Nairobi timetable is that we could dovetail both efforts. You know, you guys would be finished with your working recommendations. Those could go through the process and be approved. And then as the charters are updated for the reconfirmation, the work team's input to that could be dovetailed in, and it could all be approved at once, rather than putting the constituencies and stakeholder groups through constant rounds of administrative changes or updates to their charter documents. So I think that's the hope of that timetable. But again, if it doesn't work that way, then I'm sure the board would be understanding in terms of setting additional timetables for the various constituencies and stakeholder groups to make their changes.
Thank you very much, Rob. Any other questions for Rob? Great. Number two in the agenda is some comments about our face-to-face meeting we had in Seoul. We met in Sunday morning. There were some of us. It was Chuck, Krista, Tony, Claudio. Help me, I don't have the list with me. It was a quite good meeting. Unfortunately, we didn't have any phone SS or Victoria. And other. It was Michael also. We reviewed all the work done so far by the different working teams. I will refer to that in other points of the agenda, but in general, we set up some due dates for revision of different parts of our documents. We agreed that day that FS document was going to be reviewed until the 13th of November. Then we had several comments about Victoria's document on subtask 1.2. I will refer to that later. But in general, the work team suggested many changes to Victoria's document and perhaps going again to revision by the subworking team. That was the general comment. And also we talked about subtask 1.3. It was Krista there. And I think she has already received some comments in our email list about her document. We still have some time to review the Krista's document. This is in revision by the whole working team, like SS document. About document 1.4, we already submitted it to the OSC, and it was already reviewed in the OSC meeting that was held the same day in the afternoon. Chuck, is this okay? It was the same day? Sunday afternoon, I think.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Any comments in relation with our face-to-face meeting that I am forgetting? Someone that was there and want to comment something else?
Olga, this is Tony. I just had to rejoin because I have this great line in Argentina that has the echo, so I'm being, you know, pasted off every 5 minutes. But we're talking about the our working team meeting, right?
Yes, I was
not the OSC, our own.
About, especially for SS and some others that were not present, maybe to exchange some comments and some feedback for our meeting. So if you want to add something?
Well, no, actually, I would be jumping the gun because when we get to the actual subtask reports, I do have comments there, but this would not be the right time.
Okay. Any other comments in relation with our face-to-face meeting? Oh, the echo is quite strong, I mean. Anyway, in the meeting, we had a new council member present who expressed interest in being a member of our working team, which is Deborah Hughes. Deborah has been recently appointed by the board to the non-commercial stakeholder group. And she worked for the Red Cross in the United States. In general, there was no opposition to her being part of our working team. I personally think that she has a very interesting experience. Perhaps she can add some of this experience to our next task that we have to work on, which is outreach. But anyway, I asked Julie to put her in the list and all some administrative things that we couldn't achieve yet so far because Glenn is on vacation.
Olga, this is Chuck. Can I comment on that?
Sure, please. Comment, Chuck.
I also think that Deborah, as I said in a couple emails, that Deborah can certainly serve as fresh eyes to the things that we're finalizing right now, not at the subtask level so much, but at the working team level.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Chuck, yes. But as I mentioned this because there were some concerns before of adding new members or old members that were not active participating again and bringing old issues. I think that the spirit of newcomers into the group should be having the commitment of reviewing all the documents and being constructive in making comments to the present documents, present draft documents, and, of course, be part of the new tasks that are going to be developed. But totally agree with you, Chuck. Yes, I agree. I don't recall any other specific important things from our meeting. Krista, please go ahead.
So one thing I wanted to bring up is we briefly discussed the idea on subtask 1.3 of possibly submitting that ahead of the other subtasks because of the work that's being done on the communications team as well.
Yes. Great. I was going to bring that in point four of the agenda, but it's a very good comment. Who is this?
Oh, it was Krista again. I just said, okay, sorry, I didn't realize that I...
No, it's perfect because it was something that we spoke in the meeting, and I think that Krista made a very good point during the meeting. As her document is pretty much reviewed by all the working team members and sub-working team members, we still have some days to review it, but I think that in general we all agree with it, and I think it's a very good document. We thought about the possibility of sending it to the OSC as a separate document, and also I think, Krista, you had meetings with the communications and working team, right?
Correct.
Okay. And
Michael joining. Sorry to be late.
Hi, Michael. Good morning.
Morning.
We are in number 2 of the proposed agenda, and item 2.
Okay. Well, I don't have a computer in front of me. That's part of my problem.
You told me.
Sorry.
This is why I told you. We are talking about the face-to-face meeting that our working team had Sunday morning. Krista was just reminding me that she raised the idea of presenting her sub-working draft document 1.3 as a separate document, especially considering that there is a working team working on communications, and she already had a meeting with them, and we discussed that. So she was raising this point now, and I think it was a very good idea. And perhaps you remember something else that we talked in that meeting. We spoke about how the rest of the documents were going. We set up some due dates for revision for the whole working team. There were some comments about Victoria's document for being revised again by a sub-working team. In general, this was discussed in the meeting.
Right.
Someone else want to add something? Julie sent some minutes after the meeting. I hope that you had the chance to see them. And some next steps to be followed. I think I have already gone through them in my talk.
Olga, Krista again.
Krista, go ahead, please.
Thank you. The Deborah Hughes joining the group. I didn't. Are we still on that topic too? There was something I just wanted to add there as well.
You want to comment on that?
Yeah. So
please go ahead.
Thank you. So I agree with Chuck, and I expressed my support or acceptance of Deborah into the working team, and I think, Chuck's comments are, I further agree with the additional comments he made as far as her contribution at the working team level and with task 2, but not so much at the subtask level. I did, because of a little bit of the back and forth on the list, I just went to the charter real quick, and one of the questions I have a question about something in here, which is, under work team membership, number 2, number 1 talks about there should be a minimum of 1 GNSO counselor, preferably 2, to serve as liaisons. And I'm not sure if I understand this correctly, but then the second bullet point is the number of counselors be limited to at the most 3 to maintain separation between the team's work and the council's oversight role. And I don't know if... Deborah, I think I understand who the counselors are correct and what that means. That would put us at 4 counselors, would it not?
I think there are 4 already, and she's 6th one.
Sorry, SS, I didn't get your comment.
Maybe 6 also. I think it has to be listed out the members.
I have difficulties in hearing you, SS. So the question that Krista is raising is how many GNSO council members we have in the working team, right?
Yeah. What I'm telling, there are more than 5 more than 4 in any case, could be up to 6.
Okay. Yes, I have also been reviewing the chart this morning. Any other comments on this?
This is Rob. Olga, if I can interject.
Yeah, there's a horrible echo. I cannot even hear anybody, but if you speak slowly, that's okay.
My understanding is right now you have three. There's Olga, Chuck, and Zahid. And so Deborah would be a fourth, and that would not, I guess, based on the charter, that would not be consistent with the charter.
So the charter has a limit for the number of council members? I have it here. Let me review it. Perhaps we should discuss this among our working team. I do think that new members can bring new experiences and knowledge that could be helpful. So I'm not opposing to having Debbie or other new members. In general, I'm for participation, not against the new members. But should we discuss this among our working team? Of how many GNSO council members should we have? Or if what is in the charter is right, or we should change it? Any comments?
This is Chuck. Can I get
Chuck, go ahead, please. Yeah, sure.
The intent on that language in the charter was, I think, at least twofold. One of them was that trying to make sure that the council members don't, you know, get involved in too many things. So by limiting the number, it helps that goal of making sure that councilors aren't involved in most activities and therefore spread too thin. But secondly, because the council has an ultimate approval mechanism, the idea, as was stated in the language that Krista just read, is that you know, you don't want too many councilors because they're ultimately going to be the ones that review it. Now, first of all, let me say that in terms of a charter, it can be changed at the request of the working team. Sorry about the echo.
SS, I'd like to comment.
Yeah, just let me finish, please, SS. Now, because I actually have two roles in review processes, both at the OSC level, because I'm chair there, and I'm on the council. In fact, I'm chair there now, too. I would be more than happy to back out of regular membership of this group, and that might be cleaner if I do that as well. So I certainly will put that on the table for the working team to discuss.
SS, do you want to comment?
Yeah. Olga, I'd like to get in
the future. I'll make a number of points, and they are all individual points. They should not be connected. One is, I'm not against Debbie joining. One. Second point is that when some rules are there or charters is there or guidelines are there, we must follow it.
Okay.
If you want to go out of that, we must take approval or changes, whatever. So thus we should go, not change things just to make our work convenient. I mean, if we want to go against the charter, let the charter be amended. Third point is that basically I am opposed to even a single council member being here. It is typical to GNSO. I am not sure whether ICANN also. This is maybe if Robert is hearing, I'd like him to comment. My understanding is that outside ICANN, no similar organization have presence of council or board members. Because what happens in this working team level, there is a, freedom is not there. And I'll tell you, the fourth point I'm making is that though Chuck has been telling that he represents the constituency, but that is not true. In charter, very clearly it is recognized. There are council members. They are this constituency representative. There could be or can be taken independent members. So here the big question arises that constituency members, they are, and it's very clearly written in the charter, they are like protecting interest of their constituency. If that is so, who is doing the GNS improvement? And in a work team, who is responsible for doing GNS improvement? So these are my comments. They should be not necessary that we discuss here, but that is what I felt about it. But when it comes to Debbie, I welcome her.
Thank you.
And will suggest that Chuck should not go just to make this for her.
What was it, SS? I didn't get it.
Chuck should not leave just to accommodate Debbie.
Okay, thank you very much. Rob?
That will not help.
Okay, thank you, SS. Do you want to comment, Rob? Is it you?
I'll get in line after Krista.
It's Krista? I don't hear very well, and I have a big echo, so my apologies if I am missing your names or and your voices. Go ahead, Krista, please.
Thank you. So this is Krista. I just want to be clear in why I bring it up, and I again want to stress that I also welcome Deborah to the group and think that she brings a lot of value. And I just, because of the challenges we've had with topics, issues, et cetera, within this working team, I feel like, you know, we need to be cognizant of what the charter does say, and if we're going to change something about that or not follow it, we should follow the proper procedures to, you know, sort of prevent some of these challenges from continuing to create problems that really just end up being distracting. And so, you know, I don't want to leave the impression, Olga, or with the work team that, you know, I'm opposing Deborah in any way. I'm just trying to keep us from getting in trouble for not following our charter, if you will.
Yeah, you're right, Krista. Thank you for bringing this up. Who else want to comment?
This is Rob. I wanted to clarify one of my earlier statements and address a couple of SS's points, if I may. First, I misspoke. There are currently, when I said there were currently three council members, there's actually four. The four presently on the list are Olga, Chuck, Zaid, and Rafiq. So, you know, with Rafiq's appointment, that now makes four. Tony Harris was a council member and is now off, so it's still four, which is permissible on the charter. Again, you guys can seek to amend your charter by approaching the GNSO Council and asking for that revision to be made if you want to admit Deborah. But again, the other point I'd like to make is that Section 2 says team membership guidelines. So I guess you guys could choose to interpret that as purely guidelines. And not as a specific prohibition on more counselors. But I think if you were to do that, you'd want to be clear that you're doing it and indicate why you think having more than four helps to maintain separation between the team's work and the council's oversight role. I didn't completely understand your third point, SS, but I did want to address your fourth point, and that is that the GNSO Council was given specific responsibility by the board as part of the GNSO improvements process to engage in this activity. The charter does note the importance of having individuals from the outside community and from the broader internet community participating in the work teams, but as a function of the GNSO Council, this work team and the operating steering committee were put together specifically at the board's direction, where the GNSO Council is supposed to be taking a collaborative role along with the staff for implementing a number of these improvements. So I just wanted to clarify that. You know, I think the board's thought was that it was important to have a combination of broader interests participating in the improvements effort, but that it was very important for the existing council to provide guidance and insight, primarily, I think, because of the experience and the fact that many of the improvements and changes were actually recommended by members of the GNSO community. We're just trying to get this process as smooth and efficient as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Olga, can I get in queue?
Sure, but can I go ahead?
Yeah, I've just rejoined for the seventh time. I'm on a paid call now. I just want to say that I object to what SS just said. I don't think it's accurate to equate constituency members with an effort to stall all improvements on the GNSO. That's just not true. So I'd like to leave that on the record.
Any other comments?
Chuck, please.
Go ahead, Chuck, please.
Two things. Number one, my offer to remove myself doesn't mean that I wouldn't still be couldn't serve as a resource as the working team needed. So please understand that. So you could still contact me, consult with me. If I can be of help, I would still be of help. But for appearances, and I think there's some validity to what SS is saying in that particular regard, especially in my role, since I'm chair of two oversight bodies over this group, I think he has a good point there. But I would still be willing you could still contact me and ask me questions. I'll still help however I can, just maybe in a little different role, maybe in my chair role of the OSC. So now, secondly, just would like to balance one thing that I think I understood SS to say, and it would not make sense in this particular group to have only newcomers, only people that are not part of a constituency or stakeholder group, because ultimately what we need to be able to come up with in at least a rough consensus approach is recommendations that are broadly supported for implementing the improvements. The board has already defined the improvements that need to happen. We just have to come up with implementation plans. And if we try to implement those without adequate input, but from both outside people and inside people, we'll never succeed. So we need to try and find ways to implement the improvements that, as best as possible, accommodate the needs of all stakeholders. That includes existing constituencies and stakeholder groups, and it includes those outside those groups. So we need to work together to make that happen. One last point. If we were to eliminate, which I think I heard SS say, all counselors on this, that would mean that we would not have anybody from the commercial and business users constituency, we tried for a long time to get somebody from that constituency, and I'm very happy that we succeeded finally, so that their interests can be involved in our work. So I would not want to have any constituency stakeholder group not represented on this group.
This is Chris. Kristen, go ahead. Go on, Kristen.
Actually, Chuck, that also brings up another, makes me realize something else, that I'd hate to lose Chuck, having Chuck on the working team, but if we don't have anybody else from the registry stakeholder group, if he didn't participate, is that correct?
We do.
We have Michael.
Oh, Michael, that's right. Sorry, Michael.
That's okay. I'll get over it.
Never mind.
Olga, this is Claudia.
Claudia. Are you finished, Krista?
Yes, I'm finished.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Claudia, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted, just on the topic of whether we need to change the charter, I just wanted to follow up on what Rob said, which is that I think this is kind of scoped out in the charter as guidelines, and it pretty clearly says in that section that these are recommendations. for how we constitute the work team. So I don't think we need to, or we, I don't think we would be required to change the charter if we wanted to constitute the team a little bit differently than how it's recommended in this area.
Rob, this interpretation by Claudio, is you think it's feasible? It's okay. I agree with it, but maybe it's from my common sense idea.
My point, Olga, in noting that they were guidelines is that they are still guidelines. And my comment was that if you were choosing to exceed the guidelines, that you explicitly acknowledge that you're doing that and explain why doing so would be beneficial and why, you know, you think that it would be better. You know, there's a guideline that says the guideline exists because you want to maintain separation between the team's work and the council's oversight role. So if you explicitly decide that you're going to exceed that, then you need to come up with a rationale, a legitimate rationale that says, yeah, we understand that there is a potential imbalance there, but we think that the benefits overweigh the concerns here. And I just think you all have to be explicit in doing so. It seems to me, though, that you have a potential solution with Chuck, you know, taking a back seat, still being invited to participate in the calls when necessary in a chair role. I think you may want to revisit the request with Debbie to see if she still is interested in participating or not. I think you still have the real issue there of, you know, coming in late to the game, but also providing some very useful objective perspective, having not served on a constituency before and being brand new to the council process. So I think, you know, again, you just have balancing issues on both. I just think you need to be clear if you are going to exceed the guidelines.
Thank you, Rob.
Can I add something to that? Olga, this is Chuck.
Sure, Chuck, go ahead.
Rob pointed out something that I hadn't thought of before. Debbie is really not an insider. like some of the rest of us are, like me. Okay, so that's a very good point. She is coming in from the outside, so that's a real healthy thing.
Thank you, Chuck, and this is exactly what I was going to say. Although she's a council member, she has been appointed by the board, so she brings new experiences outside ICANN process. And somehow, yes, she's part of a constituency or stakeholder group, but at the same time, she brings some new ideas from outside. Also, let me tell you that I'm a council member, but I don't work in any specific constituency, as I'm a non-com appointee. One mathematical question. How, following our charter, how many council members should we have on our working team if we don't change it? 3, 4?
It says
the number of councillors be limited to at most 4 to maintain separation between the team's work.
And if Debbie comes, we are 5?
Correct.
I agree with some of other working team members that I would like to have Chuck in the working team. I really appreciate his knowledge and his involvement. And for me, being chair of this group, his involvement has been very important and his experience. So I would appreciate if he remains part of the working team. But I would let the group decide if we make changes in our guidelines and draft and charter, or if we have we remain with only 4 council members in our working team. I think we should discuss this in our email list, especially considering that there are some working team members that are not in the call right now. Any other comments about this? I will make a summary once. Yes, who is this? Michael?
I'd like to suggest
please, Mike, go ahead. I didn't hear you. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'd like to suggest a couple of stepped actions. I think, you know, as Rob said, the first thing we should do is, Olga, perhaps you could start, before we get too carried away, just start and check in with Debbie again and make sure she's still interested.
Okay.
And, right, because otherwise all this discussion, if she's no longer interested, all this discussion is definitely interesting, but it serves no purpose at that point because the issue's off the table. If
okay.
she's still interested, you know, my preference would be to see if you could take a shot at drafting a justification letter rather than going
okay.
back and trying to revisit the charter itself. Just we have some, it's a guideline versus a hard stop, so if you could try drafting a justification letter based on the arguments that Debbie's new, you know, to the whole environment, really, the whole ICANN environment, which I think is a very good one, and therefore that benefit outweighs the potential harms, and then send that out to the list, and we could all review it and comment on it and say if we agree with it or not.
By the way, Michael, I think that Debbie did confirm her interest in her latest emails yesterday.
Yes, she did.
Perfect.
Yesterday.
So then we
but
should go to the step of drafting that letter, I think.
Okay. Well, I can send an email anyway and reconfirm that. That's easy. And I think it's a very good way to proceed. If the rest agree, I'll do that. I'll draft a justification letter. I'll contact Debbie just to reconfirm that she is willing to serve in our working team. And we review the text that I prepare in the list. Someone wants to work with me in the drafting?
Olga, it's Krista. I just have a point of clarification / question for Rob.
Sure, Krista. Go ahead.
So Rob said that the limit is 4 in the charter?
Yes.
Guideline. Oh.
The guideline, excuse me. And I agree with this whole discussion that it's just a guideline. But I just see the number 3, so I'm trying to understand where my misunderstanding is.
I pulled up the wiki. I'm reading from the OSC Constituency Operations Work Team Charter. If I'm reading from the wrong one or it's been changed, I have the as approved version 13 April 09, looking at section 2, bullet 2.
You know what? I had clicked on the wrong link, so I apologize.
I'm delighted you brought it to our attention to begin with to make sure that the working team is adhering to its rules and guidelines. But, yeah, that's what I'm reading. I'm reading section 2, number 2. And again, it reads, the number of counselors be limited to at most 4, maintain separation between the team's work and the council's oversight role.
Thank you for clarifying.
Olga, just on volunteering, I'm happy to help you with that letter.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, Michael. I'll prepare a first draft and share it with you. And thank you for bringing. I know this discussion was brought by the idea of including Debbie or not, but as we have several new council members, we may have this circumstance in other moments and in the near future. So I think it's not bad to have this space for reflecting on these ideas and these possibilities. So I'll draft this justification letter and I'll share it with Michael and I'll share it with you in the list. Thank you very much. Any other comments on this issue? I lost the agenda. Trying to open the
face-to-face OSC meeting.
I think it went very well on Sunday afternoon. Perhaps, Chuck, you want to add a brief summary of what happened. We presented, it was reviewed, the 1.4 draft document for Turkey Services, it was quite well received. There were some edits suggested to it, and all the OSC thought it was a very useful document. Perhaps, Chuck, you want to add something to this?
Sure. A few key points, I think, need to be communicated out of that meeting if anybody didn't listen to the MP3. But that may be useful for some of you if you haven't. We had good attendance in of the OSC team there, which was very good. One of the first things I want to comment on is related to what we were just talking about, and that's the conflict that exists between counselors and so forth who are also on the working team. In that meeting, and please correct me if I'm wrong in the way I assess this, but I tried to, because of the fact that I was on the working team, and I was the one who recommended that the subtask 4 recommendations be moved forward independently. I played a very quiet role in that meeting, other than just chairing it. In the discussion, I tried to pretty much absent myself in terms of opinions, not sharing my opinions and so forth, to avoid the conflict situation. So I hope that I did that effectively. I certainly tried to. And it was the rest of the OSC membership that really made the decisions. I did not venture an opinion in that regard in that meeting. Now, secondly, I want one of the issues that came up was the general question, not specifically related to subtask 4, about whether it's appropriate for some of the recommendations to be put forward independently if they're ready to go and have working team support. And the OSC pretty much unanimously, I think it was unanimous, agreed that that's an appropriate thing to do. And so this, I bring this up now because Krista asked that question earlier in this call. And so it's very that is an appropriate thing to do. The OSC unanimously supported that concept. So if we get other tasks that aren't overly dependent on other tasks that aren't finished yet, then the OSC thought that it was fine to send those forward independently. So I think that answers Krista's question that she asked earlier. Now, does somebody have a question for me? Okay. The third thing, with regard to subtask 4, the toolkit of services recommendations, as has already been pointed out, the OSC made a few edits to the document itself, not the recommendations, and again unanimously supported sending that to the council for council action, and that step has been taken.
Thank you very much, Chuck, and especially on bringing the issue of the OSC finding useful that we can submit our outcome as a separate document. Krista, correct me please if I'm wrong. We still have 1 week more to for the working team to revise your document. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So we have 1 week more. Some of us, I already have reviewed it and so also commented. Please do review SS document and Krista's document. I think that SS already received some comments from Claudia, from Chuck, from someone else that I'm forgetting because I reviewed it yesterday, from Krista also. So we have these two documents for working team revision. Once we have them reviewed by the working team, perhaps we can think about and decide whether we want to send them to the OSC as separate or not. The document prepared by Krista and Tony could be useful for the communications working team, so think about it, and let's review those in the next week.
Olga, one suggestion in that regard.
Yes.
I think it's fair to give the subtask team a little bit of time to review the comments and suggested edits that were made, and then come back with a revised version.
Well, I think that should be done after the due date for working team comments.
Yes.
I think they should have like 2 weeks more.
Absolutely. What I was reacting to was you suggested deciding whether to send it to the OSC. Mm-hmm. That would be premature. So
I totally agree. I just wanted to have in mind that and try to think about it, if it's a good idea or not, especially considering what the OSC found as useful. That was my comment. My apologies if it was kind of putting pressure on the working team. It's not the intention.
Thanks.
So I think that somehow I moved to point four about Victoria's document. She's not on the call today. And there was many comments in the face-to-face meeting about a further revision in the sub-working team in about her document. So also she sent an email yesterday to the list that she was not willing to work in the working team anymore. I think we should contact her again and see if this is the case. And if she confirms this, we should find a new leader for sub-working team 1.2. But and again, I think we should get a confirmation from her. I've been revising the charter, and I didn't find any specific comments about who, how, what to do when someone wants to leave the working team, if there's a specific procedure or something like that. I don't know, Rob, if I am missing something in the charter or you want to point something about this?
No, I think, at least as far as I'm aware, Olga, all the guidelines and rules are focused on who's eligible, who participates, and how they participate, not in how they leave.
So what would be the procedure to just confirm with, if someone wants to leave the working team? It's just a confirmation to the, an email to the working team list, or what else?
Olga, can I comment?
Sure.
And it's not on the charter specifically, because I think Rob's right that it's absent there. But general practice in the GNSO and in all of our organizational documents has always been that, I mean, there's nothing to prevent anybody from resigning at any point in time. So in other words, I think it's fair, just based on general GNSO practice, to assume that someone can do that. I think your idea is good to confirm with Victoria that, in fact, is she in fact resigning? And if so, then you're right, we'll need to get a new leader there.
Olga and Chuck, one other point I'd like to share. There is a provision in the current charter that refers to working group member status and notes that members can be classified as active or inactive members. It provides a process for evaluating whether someone is active or inactive based upon their degree of participation in meetings. So that's one option for somebody who may, because of other job duties or whatever, have to step away for a period of time. But it doesn't address, you know, actively resigning from the group. Presumably that would just be an email alerting everybody to the fact. But I would hope that in any working team that folks, to the maximum extent possible, would be discouraged from you know, leaving and perhaps just going on inactive status if it is an issue of work or anything. If it's something else, though, that has to deal with consensus or disappointment with the work team's progress or other work, I think that efforts should be made to deal with that. Again, I think the ultimate working group model of policy development is to embrace differences of opinion and trying to find a way to bring in all the various voices. Whether they be consensus views or minority points of view. And so I think all work teams should strive to minimize people leaving because of disagreements and find a way to incorporate those thoughts and ideas.
Can I just to add on to that, this is Chuck again, should Victoria in fact confirm her resignation on the group, we should absolutely still, you know, recognize her contributions in any final reports we produce and any minority opinions or other opinions that she had there. So just because she resigns doesn't mean that she disappears in our report.
No, of course. I think that Michael and myself could try to reach her by email or perhaps by phone and try to confirm with her and see if she really doesn't want to keep on working with us or she want to keep participating in the group. Michael, perhaps we can do that in a private email. You think that's okay? Or in the list? What would be the right procedure?
private.
Okay. Okay, it's 1 hour and 3 minutes. We should finish our call. I think we pretty much covered everything. I was hoping that we could perhaps start planning task two, but we didn't have the time. But anyway, I think we had an interesting conversation about participation in our working team and new members and all that. That it's I think having new members in the council brings new ideas and these issues are going to rise someday. So it's good that we discuss them today. Any comments? Any other last questions?
Just one last
go ahead,
comment with regard to my membership in the group. It really did put me in an awkward situation chairing the OSC meeting because of my membership in the group. And that is compounded, like SS pointed out, I think, in his comments, with regard to my chair of the GNSO Council as well. So I reiterate my offer to still support the group upon request, but not be a member, and I think that solves the problem that you have. I assure you that I'll help however I can upon request if the group decides to go that route, but I think it is cleaner.
Well, I mean, well, Chuck, it's Michael speaking. I mean, I think we really value, I think, your comments on the documents in particular and your experience. So, I mean, I think it's adequate just for you to recuse yourself wherever you feel conflicted, and if that's fine, if you're doing that on most of the decision points, that's okay, but that still doesn't prevent you then from actively commenting on the documents and providing ideas and feedback, which I think are always been very well balanced.
Thank you, Michael. Chuck, it's your decision. If you really think it's that you want to support
I will go with the wishes of the working team. Okay, I just want to make sure I would be very comfortable backing away from membership and providing support on a request basis if the working team supports that.
Okay, we will keep on thinking about this in the working team, and thank you very much for letting us know what you think about this. Any other questions or comments? I will prepare some minutes, some really next steps in the next minutes, and I will share them in our work email list. Have a nice weekend. And something that we should discuss in our list is the next date for our conference call, considering that some of us are traveling to Egypt. So I'll put that in my report and get some feedback from you to see when would be a good date and time.
Thank you, Olga.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.